Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you all. It's good to be back. And it's really good to be back. And thank you for keeping the heat. It's been wonderful to return from winter to summer. And so it's good to be back. Nelson, if you could just turn this one monitor. Thank you. Before I start, and we're going to share a little bit today about what we went, what we did, and some of the things we experienced, but also a word that I believe the Lord has for all of us here at Grace Point. But before that, I want to announce two things. We have a Because We Care back to school outreach next Sunday. I know it's late notice, but it's next Sunday, right after the service at Ruskin High School, but we need hot dogs. So if you'd like to donate some hot dogs, Bill told me there were no hot dogs. So we got plenty of hot dogs. So no need for hot dogs. Okay, so we got hot dogs. But if you'd like to help, we need help with sorting clothes that were donated. Brand new clothes were donated at Bethel's Church this week from Tuesday to Friday. In the evenings, you can ask me if you want to know the details for that. And next Sunday, right after the service, we'll be heading to Ruskin High School, and we'll be praying for people, handing out goods, and sharing the gospel. So if you'd like to be a part of that, please let me know. And then also, two prayer requests. One, Ginger is out of the hospital, but we're trying to establish a meal train for her. So if you check your email, that went out, and we'd love if you could help with that. And then also, Barbara Blair is in hospital. She went into hospital on Friday with some stomach complications, so please be praying for her as well. Well, let's pray before we jump in. Lord, I thank you so much for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, we can celebrate your goodness and your faithfulness. Lord, I pray that as we spend time around your word, as we share testimony, as we share the goodness of God, Lord, that your name would be celebrated, lifted high, and glorified. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's good to be back. Thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you so much for your kindness, your goodness, your faithfulness to us. And I've heard from report backs from, as Eric shared and Brett shared, and the worship team under Sharon was leading, that you guys have done well, and it's good to see God. I also, God's faithfulness to his church, I bring greetings from Brackenfell Baptist Church. It's a church my mother attends, and while we were there, I was able to preach there and share the word with them. And they're a small congregation, but strong in the Lord, and are praying for us. And as we were praying for them, I don't know if you remember, a few years ago, we prayed for them when there was the drought and they were literally running out of water in the city. And we prayed for them, and God supplied. So we're connected. As you know, we were away. If you didn't know, we were away on a sabbatical. And this time away, we planned to do that 2 years ago. We planned to go away 2 years ago, and then something happened in the world that kind of slowed things down, and global travel restrictions. But the timing of the Lord was perfect. The timing on the Lord was perfect for us to go. And in fact, in January, while we were visiting my sister in Atlanta, the Lord provided for the funds for us to go through various people. The Lord provided. So the timing was perfect, and it was good we were able to go in the month of July. And strictly speaking, a sabbatical is a time away from ministry every 7 years, and it's supposed to be a year, but maybe all 6 months. But we took 5 or 6 weeks. So, but it was plenty. It was good. It was good to rest and really just spend time asking the Lord, spend time allowing the Lord to refresh us, and asking the Lord for what does he have for the future, and where is he taking us and leading us. And I didn't really know how much I needed time off. I didn't know how much I was desperate for that refreshment. Some of you may know that in August this year, so right around this time, 8 years ago, I started as the pastor at Grace Point. So it's been 8 years. Time flies when you're having fun, as they say. But my family and some of the closer people around me in the church would realize that I was not doing well. Eric just shared with me this morning, I was making some decisions that weren't wise, and I was also just running on fumes, and I wasn't running an optimal value for the Lord as well. And so I appreciated this time, and the last few years with COVID and with some of our family health issues, it's been very taxing. And so it was good to rest, but it's also been good to come back and to be able to see what the Lord has done and what He's going to do, and to be able to look forward to the future of what God is doing. Grateful to the Lord's faithfulness. And I want to focus on that today. Something that's just been coming back to us over and over and over throughout our time in South Africa and back here. Even in fact, on the way here this morning, I had the radio on the car for my long commute from my house. For those of you who know, the song being played was "Great is Your Faithfulness." And it was just the Lord is just speaking that over and over for us as a family, for us as a church. And during my time away, I continued my Bible reading schedule that I had been on for a number of years now, and I've been reading through Jeremiah and Lamentations. Now, those of you know that know Jeremiah and Lamentations, those aren't the most uplifting, exciting books for, you know, spiritual refreshment. They're heavy books. They're books of sadness, woe, judgment. But yet, the Lord spoke to me in those two books with incredible clarity about His faithfulness and His kindness and His goodness to us. So I want to share that in a few moments. But one of the things that we did when we left on the 3rd of July, we as a family were saying, you know, we want to remember some of the good things that God has done for us, and to look every day intentionally, looking for those little gifts from the Lord, those little kisses from heaven, those things that God was doing and did on a daily basis that would indicate to us, yes, that was a gift from heaven. That was a kiss from heaven. And do we have PowerPoint? There we go. Okay, so that's kind of the title of what we want to share this morning, those everyday kisses from heaven. In fact, I kept a journal that was just relating to our time in South Africa. And at the back, we put every date down and everything, those little things from heaven that God gave to us. And Debbie's going to share some of those in a little while. But the overarching kiss from heaven, the overarching blessing that we received, was how God orchestrated our refreshment and spiritual renewal through nature. Through nature. Now, we know that nature is God's general revelation of Himself, but it was amazing. I love mountains. I love the ocean. I love being in nature. And we were surrounded daily by beautiful parts of nature. And it wasn't simply, oh, well, that's a cool mountain, or that's a beautiful view. I literally was able to sit and see things, and it was almost as if I was trying to drink it in. I was actually like a dry sponge trying to drink in the vistas in front of us. And it's hard to explain, but how God ministered to us through every aspect, through nature in so many ways. And I would see a beautiful mountain scene, and it wouldn't simply be, well, that's beautiful, take a picture of that. Now, I just wanted to like suck it in as much as I could. And the amazing thing was, it was winter time there, and it was chilly, and you know, there were days of rain, but every day was perfect for what God had for us. So the weather was perfect for what He had for us. For example, we decided to go, that's Table Mountain outside Cape Town, we decided to go up Table Mountain, and it was winter, So it rains a lot in Cape Town. It's a Mediterranean climate there, and it's cold and rainy a lot of the time. The day we went up, it was perfect. It was like that, perfect cloudless sky. And then a few days later, we decided to go to Cape Point, a nature reserve, which is at the southwesternmost tip of Africa, and it's known as the Cape of Storms. It's known as the place where ships rounding Africa would shipwreck. So there's many, many shipwrecks down there and huge waves. And we went and it was stormy. There was a howling northeasterly wind blowing. And the waves were incredible. And we were able to just experience the power of nature, just seeing these huge waves crashing on the rocks in front of us. And there were so many aspects, you know, from praying and asking Lord to see a particular animal, and there it would be in front of us, and seeing different things that just ministered to us. God was restoring us, refreshing us, and He was so good to us. You know, Debbie has had, as you know, many health issues, and the Lord even protected her from going to hospital. And so she was able to enjoy, with limited access, as much as she could, she was able to enjoy her time there. So I want to let her share, and go ahead. I'll give you a microphone. And David, if you want to do, there's a slideshow. Don't be too distracted, that we put together some of the pictures, and some of the pictures Debbie will refer to, but you can see there.
We took over, 300? Probably more. Hello? Mm-mm. One, two, three, four. I know. Nelson, I see you. 1, 2. Hello?
Two, one, two, there. No, it's
1, 2. 1, 2. Can you hear? A little bit. 1, 1, 1, 2. There we go. And I'll just talk up. No? Thank you, Nelson. Yes. What? I don't dance. Okay, there we go.
1, 2, testing. 1, 2. Oh,
it is. One, two, there we go. So as Ethel said, we took hundreds and hundreds of pictures. Some of them you can see with some very unique experiences we had. And that one in particular, we went to the Biffles Drift Nature Reserve, and it's a private game lodge, but when the kids were small, so Christy was 5, and Joshua was only about 8 months old, and we went to that same game park, and the elephants were still baby elephants, and we were able to play soccer with them and play and interact and feed them. And you know how many times you've built something up in your mind, and you wonder if you're going to be disappointed. And we had said to the kids, you know, we're going to be going past this. We're going to try again. We're going to see the elephants again. And really building it up, but not sure if we would be disappointed. And there were a couple of things like that. When we went to Boulders Beach with all the penguins, same thing, taking them there when they were small, you know, and really wanting to cement now that they're old enough to enjoy it. And like the penguins, I mean, God was so faithful. We had never seen chicks before with the penguins on the beach, but they had, chicks. Each mom, they would come out of the water, you know, find their individual nests by just hearing their babies and knowing the unique cry of their babies. And just Yeah, as Ethel said, we took hundreds of pictures. We could only choose 78 to share. But yeah, that was the Kruger Park and the warthogs and things that we saw. But yeah, as Ethel said, growing up in South Africa, it's very much an outdoors climate. So you grow up and you get to appreciate nature. Then you come to the States, and it's silly hot in the summer, and it's silly cold, as Ethel says, in the winter. So we don't have the outdoor life like we do geared towards South Africa. But anyway, we had a number of experiences that were once in a lifetime. And our kids, I don't think, fully appreciated them because sometimes they would still be on their phones or fast asleep in the back when you want them to see something. And the number of times Christy would say, "Mom, I've seen it, stop." And Ethel and I were just trying to drink it in, as he said. And when we drove, I would have my camera on my lap, so, you know, my phone on my lap, and I would pick it up, and I don't know how many times in an hour I would take pictures. And none of them would do justice. I'd look back at them, and I'd say, "Nope, doesn't capture it." And Ethel said, "Just enjoy it. Stop trying to capture it, you know, for later. Just in your mind's eye, just drink it in." And I think the Lord confirmed the same thing for me. It's like, I've done this for you. You know, this is for you and Ethel to just sit back, enjoy it, you know, and drink it in, as Ethel said. Let's see. So the biggest highlight probably for me was the Kruger National Park. And this we went, this was the final week. So the kids were ready to come back. They were tired of no TV and no Wi-Fi. Ethel and I thought it was wonderful. We didn't switch on a TV the entire time we were there. And we had sporadic internet access. So anyway, the Kruger National Park, for some context, it is about the size of the country of Israel. So it's huge, and then there are no fences except around the perimeter. So where there used to be private game lodges and things, they've taken down all those fences, and now it's one big game reserve. So the size of Israel, and we knew that we would have a lot of animal sightings. We had taken the camera that's over Ethel's shoulder in these pictures, we had taken with us specifically for the Kruger Park, knowing that we would see animals in the distance and want to capture them. And we dragged it everywhere. It was always the last bag to be picked up. You know, at the airport, it was like, oh, who's got the camera bag? When we put it in the overhead storage, who's got the camera bag? And it was just a pain. Dragged it all around London on that day, and it was just in the way. Well, we get to the Kruger Park, and we take it out. I put on my 300 zoom, specifically for the Kruger Park, and the battery pack is gone. And I wasn't just a little bit upset. I mean, I was devastated. I actually had a physical feeling in my stomach that just was like, this is awful. And the kids, I complained a lot. And the kids kept saying, "Mom, get over it." And Ethel would say, "Get over it." And I eventually said, "You know what? Okay, I'll get over it, because I'm going to trust that the Lord, not only are we going to see the animals, but he's going to bring them to where we can get a good picture of them." No, I mean, it's not like I was demanding or anything. But anyway, it was fantastic. We were in a hide. The ones we saw, the second leopard for a day, and there's not many leopards. There's probably about 120 leopards in the park. We saw our second one from this one hide. You know, and I was looking through the binoculars. We had borrowed binoculars from Ethel's mom and another pair from his brother. And I'm looking through and I go, "Whoa, this is amazing. Look how far you can see." You know, they should have a camera on these binoculars. And Ethel just said, "Yes, it's called a zoom lens." And I was, yeah, anyway, we didn't have the zoom lens. Christy was able to get it where she could have the binoculars and then line up her camera looking through the lens of the binoculars. So we had a couple that have got circles and things around them. It's like, it's even got an automatic, vignette around your pictures. And then just as far as bringing the animals close to us, there was no for Joshua's Gotcha Day. So we celebrate birthday Gotcha Day every year. For his Gotcha Day, we decided to do a sunset drive. So we get into the Jeep that you saw earlier, and we make our way to the very back. And we go on this drive, and it starts at sunset. It's beautiful, and you go through. They don't stay on the roads. They go through the bush. You know, you're jostled and moving. You see all the animals up close. And we had come to probably 20 minutes within the end of the ride, and we'd seen hyenas, we'd seen different cats, we'd seen porcupine, we'd seen warthog, you name it, we had seen it, but we hadn't seen lions yet. And so as we came across a dry riverbed over the bridge, you know, we were shining the spotlights and trying to, you know, see where the animals' eyes would reflect back at us. And all these eyes reflected back from this dry riverbed. And it was three or four lionesses and about three cubs. And they were playing, and there was no reason for them to come up to the road other than the fact that I had asked if they would come closer so that I could get the the best pictures. So one by one, they actually left the riverbed and they came up, and Athel had the spotlight. One of the lionesses came and I guess she lay on the road right behind us. And since we were in the last row, Athel was really watching her. And I don't know whether it's because he is a pastor and is naturally suspicious of everybody and wanting to eat his family, but I just see the best in everybody. So I was like, oh, nice. And in fact, not only did I forget I even had a husband because I was trying to get the best pictures. Anyway, he continued with the spotlight. He did take it off so that I could get a picture of the lions on the side. And when he swung the spotlight back, the lion was gone. And she was stalking us, and we were right in the back. So all I said was, Patrick, who was the ranger, there's one behind us. And he put his foot down, and off we went. But there she is, lying right behind us, and that's how close she was. And she was pretending not to think about eating us. You know, and she was probably saying, Jeep kebab. You know, and right in the back, light and dark meat, all the cuts. So anyway, it was a good experience, like that night as well, where Joshua had said, you know what, I've asked God if I can see a jackal, because I love jackals. He said, and I'd really like to see one. He says, I would like to see a rhino too, but I don't love rhinos like I love jackals. And our ride was actually done. And the ranger said, you know what? Sometimes there's a lion, a white lion from the Timbavati. Should we go and look and see if we can find it? So everybody was like, yes, 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 let's go. So off we went, and we didn't see the lion, but guess what we saw? We saw a black-backed jackal just for Joshy. And when he was so excited, and I kept saying, Josh, do you realize how much of a miracle that is? Because the drive was over. But God added that extra time just so that you could see that jackal. So it was every morning we would go out. And again, it's just you're constantly looking in the bush for animals. And, you know, your eyes by the end, all you can see is this grass. And when you look at it, it looks like it's moving because your vision's been moving. And you've been, looking from either side of the car all day. But it was, we saw giraffe, we saw every animal you could imagine. And I'm just trying to think, we saw on the last day the dogs. Okay. So I don't know what was different about the final day. Well, actually, I do. We had about an hour left before we left the park completely. And then we were going to drive 6 hours to Johannesburg, fly back to Cape Town, and then be there 2 days and come back. But we were sitting and driving. We'd left the camp, handed in our keys, everything, and we're about 10 kilometers from the end, and Christy and I look over, and I say, oh, there's a hyena, and she looks at, and we both look at the same time and go, no, that's not, those are wild dogs, and there are less than 100 of them in the park, and here we saw a pack of about 5 or 6 of them. So I didn't have anything on. I grabbed my camera, I threw it at Athel. It was like this juggling act. He finally catches it. As he catches it, he puts on the video, and all you hear is him saying, oh, video, and you see the 1 second of a dog running past. And did you put it in? No. He censored it, okay. But he had it on a loop yesterday, and it was so funny, because for 1 second you see this, and you just hear him over and over again. So, and then we had also said before we left the camp, we're like, you know what, we have seen lions, we've seen plenty of lionesses, we haven't seen a lion, a male lion. And so we were driving, and honestly about 10 minutes, we'd just seen the wild dogs, and there are some lionesses with cubs, and they're playing in the middle of the road. And the nice thing with early mornings is that the sun shone on the roads, and then the animals would come and warm up because it was still winter and cold. So we drove up, and we're looking, and there's a bunch of cars around all looking at these lionesses. And I look to the side, and it's this side in South Africa because the driver's the other side. And there is the most beautiful specimen of a male lion you've ever seen. He's got this incredible mane, and he's everything we could, you know, have wished for and to see. And we were able to get some pictures, and he stood there, and we lay there for about 20 minutes while we got as many pictures as we wanted, and then he left. So, yeah, I just really wanted to share and just echo Ethel's thanks to everybody and the fact that we were able to go, and for those that provided the funds to go, and just knowing that this was an experience that our kids will never forget, that Ethel and I will never forget. And really it was a time of refreshing and a time of really searching as well and processing. With all that was happening, we hadn't been processing very well. So we were able to process a lot. And even sitting down yesterday to look at some of these pictures, you know, we realized just how blessed we were in this whole trip. And the Kruger was just one part of that. So, yeah, thank you.
There's so much more that God did. You know, we were obviously at the game park, but we went to that was a retreat center that I used to work at in the 80s, and we went back there, and the Lord just had so many little gifts for us in that place, and spoke to us so clearly. And there's one challenge that I want to leave with you this morning, and an encouragement as well, because In the book of Lamentations, as I was reading through it, I came across some verses you know well, but maybe you don't know that they come from the book of Lamentations, because it doesn't seem to fit. And but this week, as I was praying through these verses, Stephanie came into our staff meeting and said, "What was that verse you're reading?" And I shared, and she said, "Well, Pam and I were just praying those verses in the women's prayer meeting that morning." And so when God gives confirmation after confirmation about one particular section of the word, we need to pay attention. And so it's Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 to 26. So open your Bibles. I'll give you some time to find it. Lamentations is right between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. So they're big books and the little book in between. Chapter 3. And the context of the book is God has just judged and threatened to judge and told Judah that they are going to be judged as a nation for their sins, for their waywardness. And in 587 BC, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians overran Judah and took them into exile. And so it was a time of God's judgment, a time of God's punishment on the nation. And Jeremiah, most of the scholars believe that Jeremiah was the author, the writer of Lamentations. And he is known as the weeping prophet, a very lonely prophet, because in all of his ministry, in all of his years, not one convert. Think about that. How depressing is that as a prophet? But he trusted God. And these verses, right in the middle of the book of Lamentations, If you're reading it through quickly, you might miss them. But beginning in verse 19, Jeremiah writes, "I remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Can you imagine that? Here's this prophet. He has seen family and friends taken into exile. He's seen so many people killed. He has seen the nation being punished. And he has also seen so much of what he prophesied come to pass, and he was warning people. And there's not a lot of goodness in his life, and yet he says this. And as if he turns from all the pain and the sorrows, and he looks up. He looks up at God. And there's a turning point. Verse 19, he remembers his afflictions. He remembers his sorrows. He remembers the pain. And in verse 20, he says, "My soul is downcast." He's not just a little upset. His very being is downcast. He's depressed. He's sad. And then verse 21, "Yet this I call to mind. Therefore, I have hope." He has hope. In the midst of his sorrow, he remembers the mercy of God. Verse 22, "Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." You know, God never fails. He cannot fail. He cannot fail. In the world around us, there's so much that we can see that can cause us to grieve, that can cause us to fear, to cause us to be anxious. And Debbie and I haven't watched a lot of TV, and we turned on the local news, and all you hear is another murder, another loss, another suffering. And it's hard to absorb all that and kind of, okay, how do we process this? What is going on? And if we look to our finances, if we look to our own personal security, if we look to people to hold us secure, to be able to sustain us, to be able to keep us, is that what we're placing our trust in? We'll always be stressed. We'll always be anxious, because finances fail. People fail. People let us down. Things let us down. There is no security. We'll always worry about how we're going to pay the next bill. We'll always worry about the future of our children and their children. But if we build on Christ, he is the faithful one. He will never fail. Lamentations is actually a call to repentance. I'm sure when Jeremiah was penning these words, he's thinking, who's ever going to read this? Because the nation's been taken into exile. But it's a call to repentance. Verse 39 to 40, further down in the chapter, says, "Why should the living complain when punished for their sins? Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord." It's a call to repentance. And, you know, we looked at it a couple of months ago in 1 John 1, verse 9. We have a promise under the new covenant that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, purify us from all unrighteousness. You know, God is faithful to forgive. God is faithful to forgive. He is faithful to sympathize with us, to carry our burdens. He is the lifter of our burdens. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 says, Jesus is our high priest. He takes our burdens before the throne of God. He is faithful to do that. He is faithful to deliver us from temptation. He is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. But when you are tempted, God is faithful to provide a way that you can stand up under it. You can bear it. He will provide a way out. God is faithful to keep us. He's faithful to keep us today, tomorrow, and for eternity. He is faithful. Do Do you trust God to be faithful? Do you trust Him to be faithful? Do you trust Him to restore your soul, to bring you back to a place of health? You know, God was faithful to Judah and Israel, even in the midst of this suffering and pain that they were going through. God was faithful to them. He was faithful to the covenant that He made with Israel. He's faithful today to that covenant. Even though they went into exile, there was a remnant that remained in the land, and that remnant saw the Messiah. They saw Jesus, the promised one. They didn't recognize who He was, but God was faithful to His promises. God was faithful to Israel in 1948 in reestablishing the nation. God was faithful to His promises. And for Israel, the best is yet to come. God is faithful to His people, and He is merciful and faithful to us, those adopted into the family of God. What a privilege to be adopted into His covenant relationship. He is faithful to the promises that He has for us. He will not fail. He cannot fail. You know, one of the things that the Lord impressed on me and spoke to me when we were in South Africa and spending time in prayer, and I had the blessings of being on some amazing mountaintops and also walking on some beautiful beaches of just nothingness and just hearing the waves and the seagulls. It was so beautiful. And one of the things, I shared this with the men yesterday, and I believe this is for us individually, this is also for us as a church. The word that the Lord impressed on me is that the future is treacherous. The future is treacherous. The pathway ahead is treacherous for us individually and as a church. Now, we don't often hear that word, treacherous, frequently. It's not something that we talk about a lot, or we hear in common conversation. And I looked it up, and as treacherous is defined as hazardous because of presenting hidden or unpredictable danger. It's hazardous because of presenting hidden or unpredictable dangers. Sounds like the world we live in, isn't it? There's unpredictable dangers all around us. It's hazardous. It's treacherous. So what do we do? What do we do when we have these unpredictable dangers on every side as individuals and as the church? How do we respond as Christians? How do we respond as the church to these dangers? This unpredictability of the future. Nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow other than God Himself. So how do we respond? And sadly, it's easy to become discouraged. It's easy to become depressed. It's easy to hide from the future or to hide from facing what lies ahead. And our world has given us plenty of opportunity to escape the inevitability of what's coming and the future and the uncertainty of the future. There is escapism all around us, whether it's digging into just the world of entertainment and just absorbing and being sucked into spending hours and hours watching movies, whether it's exercise, whether it's an addiction, drug addiction, whether it's pornography, whether it's social media, or even escaping into accumulating things to try and help us to feel better about ourselves. There's so many things that the world says, this will make you feel better. And it's escapism. It's meaningless. How do we, as Christians, face uncertainty? The answer is clearly given in Lamentations, verse 24 to 26. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Notice the words, they were underlined, didn't come through on the PowerPoint, but wait and seek. It's good to wait on the Lord. I will wait for Him, to the one who seeks Him. Waiting and seeking represents prayer. It means waiting on the Lord is praying, spending time communing with our God, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who's the author and perfecter of our faith, as Hebrews 12:2 says. Waiting on the Lord. It's something that we don't really know how to do very well in our culture. Because we're people who, okay, what do I need to do? Give me a list of things to do and I'll run out and do it. Tell me what I must do. The Lord says, wait on me. Seek me. Rest in me. Our human nature craves activity. In fact, it's our human nature's pride to say, tell me what I do so I can fix it, so I can do what I need to do. And the Lord says, no, you cannot do it. Wait on me. Seek me. Trust me. Jeremiah waited on the Lord. Are you prepared to wait on the Lord? Are you prepared to trust him, to seek him, to wait and to seek his faithfulness? And as you wait on the Lord, you'll see that fulfillment of his promises. You'll see the fulfillment of his promises as you wait on the Lord. You'll see the fulfillment that another prophet mentioned in Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Their hope is in the Lord. The two are connected. Waiting on the Lord is putting our trust in the Lord, putting our hope in the Lord. And the end result is you'll run and not grow weary. You'll soar on wings like eagles. That's not dreaming. That's how we'll be able to walk as we wait on the Lord. During our time in South Africa, the Lord slowed me down. He slowed me down many times to actually just look and sit and think and pray and wait. And he refreshed me. He taught me that I need renewal that only he can give. Only he can renew our strength. Only God can do that. Are you experiencing kisses from heaven? And you say, well, no, that was just for you, right? That was just, God gave you that in the month of July. No, kisses from heaven are for all of us, and in fact, it's every day. We're just not looking for it. We're too busy. We're about, what can I do? What can I make? What can I make happen? How can I get this to work out? God says, wait on me and look and see. The kisses from heaven, those little things that God gives us every day that we can give him glory, because that's his faithfulness to us. That's his goodness to us. Sometimes we miss them because we're simply too distracted to slow down. Are you waiting on the Lord? Are you seeking him? Wait on the Lord. Or are you looking for a man-made solution, a quick fix to your problems? I often say, you know, in our church family and in church, you shouldn't come in with a burden and leave with that same burden. This should be the place where you leave those burdens and trust the Lord to take care of them. So what burdens have you carried in with you this morning that you'd like to leave behind? The Lord's saying, yeah, you can leave that here. I'm going to take care of that. Leave it at the altar. There'll be an opportunity in a few moments to do that, but what about us as a church? How are we navigating the future, the days ahead? Do we know as a church what it means to wait on the Lord? Jesus said, quoting the prophet Isaiah, when he had just cleaned out the temple and overturned the money changers, and Jesus declared, my house shall be a house of prayer. The Lord's house is to be a house of prayer. And we're like, yeah, we know that. And we at Grace Point, we could easily say, well, you know, we do pray. You know, we have several prayer meetings during the week. We pray for unreached people groups once a month. And, you know, we have different prayer events and we pray together before and after meetings. But is that waiting on the Lord? Do we really, I think we're scratching the surface of what God has for us. I think we're just beginning to see what God has for us. There's so much more in the area of prayer that we can learn. And you may say, well, yeah, I know you've got those prayer meetings, but those times don't work for me. You know, Tuesday morning, men's prayer meeting, that's way too early, and I got to get to work. Or the women's meeting on Wednesday morning, yeah, that's just not convenient for me. Well, then start another one. The doors are open. If those times don't work for you, you come and you start another prayer time. But we need to learn to wait on the Lord. We've been trying for so long to make things happen in our own strength. I know I have. Let's wait on the Lord, and let's trust Him for the outcomes. I think we really are scratching the surface. We're beginning for what God has for us. There's still so much more He wants to show us, so much more that He wants to do in power in our lives, in the lives of those connected with this church. There's so much more, because it's going to bring testimony after testimony of His goodness as we wait on the Lord, as we trust Him. Are you prepared to seek the Lord? Are you prepared to wait on the Lord? I want to invite Sharon, the worship team, to come up. And I want us to, this is not the end of the service. I want us to pray. I want us to spend some time waiting on the Lord. And you can either come forward, kneel before the Lord, kneel at the altar. If you would like prayer, and our prayer team is available, and you simply raise your hand and say, hey, I need prayer for something. Someone will come to you and pray for you. And maybe if you're comfortable, you can pray with the person next to you. Imagine that, where we gather as the church and pray together. And I'm not telling you what you need to pray for. The Lord is speaking to you. He's telling you what to pray for. He's telling you what burdens you need to release, what you need to let go of. He's telling you maybe that person you need to be praying for, that person that's not here today, that you have a burden for. It's not gossip. You're praying to the Lord about them. You're asking the Lord for them. So all across the room, as the worship team plays, I'm going to pray, and I want us to enter into a time of prayer, a time of waiting on the Lord. All across the room, ask the Lord for what's on your heart, what He has put on your heart, because it's on His heart first. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You for Your mercies that are new every morning. We thank You for the kisses from heaven that even the ones that we've missed today, we thank You, Lord. Great is Your faithfulness. Lord, I ask You that we would become a praying church. Lord, like the disciples, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to pray what's on Your heart. Lord, I pray that You would lead us in treacherous times. Lord, forgive us for our self-sufficiency, for the prideful self that says we can fix this. And allow us, Lord, to trust in You, to wait on You. We wait on You now, Lord, in Jesus' name.